listening
to the Modern Horrors
Podcast Network. Welcome to the 67th episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Today marks the very first episode of the 80s Were Weird month.
Woo-woo!
We're kickstarting this series with House and Sleepaway Camp, two of my favorites.
Yes.
For you new listeners, we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so continue at your own risk. Both of today's films are currently streaming on Shudder, so check those out before continuing with the episode if you are a spoiler-sensitive listener. I'm pretty sure that Sleepaway Camp is also streaming on like Vudu and Tubi TV right now. If you don't have Shudder and you haven't seen Sleepaway Camp, totally worth it. God, just buy it. It's
I was
so going to
say, or you could just buy it. I'm glad we're on the same page.
I'm so sad that I own this movie. Said no one ever about Sleepaway Camp.
No, just buy the box set. It comes with like all of them.
I got the Blu-rays for Christmas and it was awesome to watch.
Phenomenal.
To watch it. But before we jump into these films, let's get started with a segment that we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is the First Purge, with a July 4th release date. It's directed by Gerard McMurray, who hasn't directed much. He had a movie on Netflix last year called Burning Sands, which was about, I think, like hazing in colleges for like fraternities. It wasn't like a documentary. It was just a film about that. And the writer for this is James DeMonaco, who wrote all the other Purge films. The IMDb summary is, the film will be a prequel that will focus on the events that lead up to the very first Purge event. It's not much of a summary, but I guess that's all we get.
And the trailer itself is more like a campaign ad.
Yeah,
they're very political.
I really like the trailer.
And same.
And there's definitely some red hat
innuendo
imagery here.
I like enjoy this marketing campaign so much.
I like it a lot. And I'm okay, so I confession time, I think I mentioned this like on our earlier episodes, I've actually never seen any of the Purge movies at all.
Really?
Zero of them. And it's not because I don't want to. It's because I never had the chance to watch them sequentially. It's like if something's on, it's like Purge the election year. And I'm like, well, I don't want to watch Purge election year till I watch the first Purge.
Yeah.
And then it just never happened for me. But I feel like I really understand everything that happens in the Purge movies because I've heard a lot about them, but I've never actually physically watched any of them.
So I really liked the first one. It's like not anything, you know, record breaking or whatever. Like there's not any like really crazy new ideas. If you know the premise of the Purge movies, you pretty much like can have an idea.
Sure.
But they kind of like, so the first movie really takes place in like one person's house. And then the second is like focused around like a couple different people in like the city. And then the third one is like election year, obviously. It's like got a whole different kind of thing going on. I kind of like the first one the best, the second one the second, and then the third one the least.
Oh, really? I feel like I heard more that people liked the sequels more than the first one.
Really? I mean, they're different. I feel like, I guess that could be the case. I haven't seen the second one in a while. But I definitely remember liking the third one the least. I only saw that one time and it was in theaters. But I'm actually like, I'm excited about this one. I think it's cool to be able to see like, I don't know, what led to this, I guess.
And I really especially like the idea of the Purge, but I don't know if I'm gonna actually like the movies as much as I like the idea. I totally want to watch them. It's just like, I don't know, for some reason there's always other things to watch, and like it's not easy to watch all three films. Like if they put all three films on HBO or something, I would totally like just binge one day, you know, and watch them all. It just like there's always just like one or two of them up there, and it's never the first one. I'm like, god damn, I just want to watch them in sequence. So I mean, I just don't feel like going out of my way or paying money for it, honestly. I'm kind of waiting for them to be streaming somewhere.
That's kind of how I am. I don't remember. I think like the first one was like on HBO or something at one point.
Yeah.
And then like a year later, the second one was. Yeah. And then I like, since I had seen the first two, I was like, okay, well, I'll just see the third one on a $6 Wednesday.
Sure. Yeah, it just never happened for me. But I will say that this trailer is very fun.
Yes.
It's very alluring to me.
If anything, I appreciate the shit out of what they're doing.
I mean, I don't know. It's all hell is breaking loose politically in general. Mm-hmm. So I expect to see a lot of stuff like this. And I mean, we already have American Horror Story kind of went into this. And
I didn't even watch that season at all. I'm kind of bummed.
Oh, you know, I watched a couple episodes of it. And it's how American Horror Story usually goes, is the first few episodes are really good. And then I don't care anymore.
I really just want to watch it for Evan Peters, because we all know I have a deep love for Evan Peters, but like, I don't know, his character in it just looks fucking nuts.
He's fucking nuts in it. Yeah. He's totally fucking nuts in it.
And I'm intrigued.
But anyway, yeah, I think this looks good. I want to see it. I probably won't see it until I watch the other ones first, though. So
I'll make you watch the other three somehow.
Yeah,
listen, I mean, to request month, people.
I would watch it. I'm not, and like I said, it's not because I don't want to. It's just never happened. Okay.
But yes, we'll see. We'll see this film.
I like that it's coming out on July 4th. Like, me too. It's just really fucking, like, just a stab.
Their marketing team's doing crazy things and good things and entertaining things, and I'm into it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what that's really trying to say. It's like, okay, I guess a crazy president would start something like this. I mean, is that really it? I don't know where we're headed
is what they're saying.
I think they're just throwing a red hat in there because that's going to get people interested in watching it, I guess.
He's going to be like, this is great.
Although if I never see a red hat again, it'll
be too soon.
Yeah. I'm just over it.
Same.
Over all of it.
Same.
Has it been 4 years yet? Okay. No, so.
Not even close.
Before we get started, I just want to say, if I sound echoey or not as awesome as I usually do, it's because I'm recording in a different room than I usually do, and it's kind of empty, so I expect there to be some echo. I tried putting up like pillows and blankets, but I don't know that it's going
to
do
really
much.
I don't really hear an echo, to be honest with you.
I can hear it in my head.
In your headphones?
Yeah. My headphones.
I can hear it in my head. Amy's going crazy,
so
everyone.
I'm trying not to yell. I'm trying to talk very PBS, you know. I'm doing my PBS voice.
In Boise, Idaho, we have someone called Delilah who has a very radio voice.
Oh, yeah, we have Delilah here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Delilah.
I know, I'm doing my radio, sexy radio voice. Just because I'm trying to avoid an echo. So I apologize if I'm turning anyone on right now. It's totally not on purpose.
I really like where this turned. Oh, good grief.
Sorry. Carly, why don't you introduce this movie so we can change the topic?
Yeah, hey. The first movie that we are going to be speaking about today is 1985's House, directed by Steve Miner, who all know. Yep. That's what when I saw his like name come up, I was like, woo, because I haven't seen this movie ever. So I didn't know that he directed it, and it was exciting. He did Friday the 13th, Part 2 and 3, and also Warlock. We're huge fans of Warlock. All of them are Jason films.
We're good. I enjoy.
And also, a fun fact that I learned when I was looking at this stuff, he also directed the pilot episode of The Wonder Years.
I saw that. He directed The Wonder Years for a while, it looked like.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It is. And then writers Fred Decker, who did Monster Squad and Night of the Creeps, and also Ethan Wiley, who also did the House 2, the second story.
You guys, Monster Squad and Night of the Creeps. I mean,
so
those
good.
Are great stories.
So good.
Fantastic stories.
I haven't
we
seen House 2, the second
love having a Fred
story.
Decker on this on the 80s episode. Maybe we'll have more. Maybe we won't. Who knows?
Hopefully we will.
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell, and the schedule. The IMDb summary is: a troubled writer moves into a haunted house after inheriting it from his aunt.
Or aunt.
I say aunt, but I don't know why. Like, I just, like, said aunt. I, like, changed the way that I speak to read this IMDb summary. What's happening to me this morning?
I don't know. You're turning, like, I'm doing my sexy voice and you're saying aunt.
Who knows who I am anymore? We're strangers.
Oh my God. So this was your first viewing of House. I'm so excited that you finally got to watch it.
Me too.
How did you like it?
It just got so crazy.
It's just so weird, right?
It just got so crazy. And I was like, oh, George Wendt is on here. I was like, Norm. I love Norm from Cheers.
I love him. I met him at Monsterpalooza last year. He was the only person I met because there was no line for George Wendt. And I'm like, how is not anyone at the line for George Wendt?
I would have just continuously gone through that.
Yeah. I know. I just kind of like sat with him, but he was not, I don't know. He looked like he had enough.
He was like, I'm ready to leave.
Yeah. He's like, what am I doing here? I kept calling him Mr. Wendt because I didn't want to be one of those people that were like, Norm, because I have a feeling he probably hates that by now.
No. Does he though? It's Cheers. Everybody knows your name. And his name was Norm.
It's 2018. It's been like 30 years of people fair shouting Norm enough at him. I think he's done.
I guess. This movie is so fun and so bizarre.
Yeah, it is.
It like gets crazy.
It does get really crazy. Hence why I picked it for the 80s were weird month.
That's true.
This movie is very strange. It gets only stranger.
It's so funny because like when I was first watching it and like he comes across the like monster in the closet and then like gets away and closes the door and then like orders all of his like battle supplies from who knows where, because Amazon was not a thing in the 80s, and like
he just patiently had it. He waits for it
to
war. Be
delivered to his house and then goes and like is prepared to like fight the closet demon.
Yep. And William Catt is just, I mean, if you don't, most people remember William Catt from the original Carrie movie. He's the mm-hmm. curly headed dude that goes to prom with Carrie, and he in this film, he's just so, I don't know. He wears these clothes. I just love this like deep V sweater.
The deep V sweaters.
And you can basically see his belly button.
I mean, both of these movies have amazing wardrobes.
Oh, the wardrobe is really, really fantastic. And George Wendt in this, like the acting. Okay, so this movie's completely ridiculous. Okay, mm-hmm. There's cheesy monsters and like insane things happening that make no sense. But the acting is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like, yeah. It's so funny how good the acting is for a movie like this. Usually the acting in films like these are atrocious.
Yeah, a little rough. And but so that's kind of what like
George Wendt fucking kills it.
He's so good as like the nosy line, neighbor.
Oh my God. Every single line is like gold. He makes me laugh. Genuine laughter for genuine jokes. Yeah.
He's perfect. Like,
totally gets it. Hits every note right. And I especially love it when he first meets William Catt's character outside the house and he's like insulting his aunt.
Yeah. Like, and then he's like, she, heart of gold.
I don't know why, but it's the way he says it. He does it so perfectly. Makes me laugh every time. He's fucking awesome.
She was
a
crazy old bat. She was my aunt, heart of gold. She was just
so good.
The nicest lady.
He's
You're
such
like,
a, like
George, we are all George Wendt.
Genuine, caring person. Like in this film too. Like he's kind
of
the
cutest
nosy
dog. He's got this beautiful golden retriever.
Beautiful. Yeah, and he's just the sweetest, most caring character that I've seen in a horror movie in a long time. Because he does call the cops, but he's he cares for his neighbor. He doesn't want anything bad to happen to him, and calls his wife to make sure that he's okay. Like, who does that? George Wen
Inhouse does that.
What?
How did he get her number?
He stole his address book.
Oh, yes. Okay. Table. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. That didn't strike me as weird when I was watching it. But for some reason, like just now, I was like, how does your neighbor just like.
Yeah, he goes over to George. I remember that now. Yeah, he goes over to the house and starts, the guy starts acting weird. So he grabs his phone book on the way out and calls his ex-wife.
Because wouldn't we all?
Yeah. I mean, if you think he's crazy, he's like a famous dude.
Hey, he's like, I just got a solitude. I got to be alone.
Yeah.
Write my book. Fight my closet demons.
So in terms of the actual story going on here, he's a Vietnam veteran.
Yes.
Who is battling his own personal demons still to this day. He writes horror novels, but chooses to write a Vietnam novel about his past instead of continuing to write things his fans want to read.
Right. And everybody loves his book.
And as he starts writing this book, his house is... It's definitely...
It's like... It reminds me of... So, like, the aunt has lived here, obviously, previously. She, in the first scene, commits suicide. Or they find her. And so after, like, he moves in, they're going to sell the house, but then he decides to, like, move in. And he sees her ghost, and she, like, warns him, like, it got me. It tricked me. Like, it won before. I love that scene. Like, it's, like, a great, I don't know.
It's, yeah, like, it's a nice scene.
What's happening? and then things just kind of get crazier and crazier from there. He, like, sees his, like, little boy.
Right.
He's got a lot of flashbacks.
The whole beginning of this movie makes sense, and then it just gets very strange because the whole thing ends up being just basically him dealing with his past and his past demon of this guy who died in Vietnam with him and when he was with him, and basically battling his demon. Like, it was just weird. It's like, so was that guy haunting the house the whole time? Or is
I think so. When, like, I was reading about House, and I didn't realize this, but it was only, like, in, I think, 1980 that, like, PTSD was actually recognized by the American Psychiatric Association as a mental disorder. And it's kind of like when war stopped being, like, glorified and started being seen as, like, a scary, like, really damaging thing. And so, like, a lot of horror movies, like, in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s kind of dealt with this. And so that's kind of, like, where this kind of pulled from.
Sure.
And I guess, like, Fred Decker had gotten the idea of some of the idea of the story from the Twilight Zone movie. And, like, him and, like, a few other people were going to create a project together, but then they didn't end up doing that, and so he ended up writing this. And I think it's really interesting, the original story and script was completely horror, and then when Ethan Wiley took over, he added, like, the comedic elements to it. So it's, I think that's why it makes more sense after knowing that, why it kind of does feel like two different movies. Like, the beginning was super together, and, like, I'm on board, it makes sense, and then all of a sudden we just, like, go off the deep end and things get nuts.
I wonder, like, okay, first of all, I want to say I absolutely love this movie. I'm going to tear it apart, but I absolutely love this movie.
Yeah, same.
I wouldn't be discussing it now. I mean, this episode has two of my favorite 80s movies, so I'm just putting that out there now. But it doesn't work, really, because it does have a very serious story. I mean, there's a very serious thing happening with our main character dealing with his grief and dealing with Vietnam and his history. And, you know, his history stole away his little boy, and he lost his little boy because of it. And only after confronting his past is he able to get his little boy back. I mean, if that's not a super serious plot, then I don't know what is. But then there's also this really cheesy, weird 80s comedy shit happening. And you're like, I don't know how these things work together, because they totally don't, really.
No.
But I mean, the 80s were just known for doing shit like this, like taking really fucking serious shit and making it totally fucking crazy. Ridiculous.
Yeah. I almost wish that, like, I just, like, I want to know Fred Decker's original vision. Like,
yeah,
without the crazy puppets and without the, like, silly, I don't know, the silliness, I guess.
And I don't think you could really do it, but
I don't think it would be as endearing as this film is.
Well, you can't redo it now because everyone already loves this movie.
Yes, agreed.
But if you did remake it in its original form and with its original intent, I think it actually would do really well right now. Like, I think it would do really well today. But maybe in the 80s, it just wasn't something that would have done well, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
It would have been one of those, like, ahead of its time movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had it been how he probably originally wrote it.
Sure. Sure. I think the most crazy of all of the monsters is the Sandy monster. So his wife, when she is in monster form.
Yes. It reminds me of, like, something that was, like, should be in Jabba's palace, like performing a song or something in Return, like, of the Jedi. Like, I was like, this is so funny and ridiculous.
It's so over the top, like version. Rubber suit with like long red fingernails and like makeup and just
why is that? I was like, whoa. And then she had that crazy voice, like, wow.
Like, it's definitely a Muppet voice, like what? A creepy Muppet voice.
Yeah. And that's, I think that was the first moment where I was like, okay, this movie's going to get weird.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the horror aspects of this film are very, I would think geared towards kids.
Yeah.
It's got a very like childlike monster feel to it. They're not actually scary. Nothing in this movie is actually scary.
It's like silly, like when the hand is on the little boy.
Yes, but it's dealing with such serious subject matter.
Yeah,
but then it has this like weird childlike comedic thing happening. It just it's very strange. And that's part of the reason why I picked it for the 80s or weird month, because it's a very strange combination of things.
It's a little bit of everything. We got puppets.
Yep.
We got puppies.
Puppies.
We got deep V's.
The deepest of V's. And George Wendt.
So we have really George Wendt.
All over the place. It's just very 80s, really, in general.
Apparently, like, Glenn Close and Sigourney Weaver were up for the lead female role, and I just like wish that would have happened.
That must have been like the 80s thing. So there's like some really, I don't know if they were on purpose funny, but there were some like things that were funny that I just can't deal with. The first thing is like our main character William Kett calls the FBI just calls the FBI and there's like a normal receptionist that says Federal Bureau of Investigations.
They're
like,
on my like speed
that's
dial.
A thing that happens.
It's fine.
And then you know, he asks for a specific person. He asks for Agent Thatcher, and she's like, "Oh, he's on the other line." He's like, "I'll wait." And then like a second later, he's talking to him.
He didn't have to wait very long.
Why would you even say he's on the other line? Like, why would? Like, you've already gone this far. Just patch him in.
Yeah. Just patch him in. It's fine.
He already knows how to call the FBI.
Yeah.
I don't know. That part always cracks me up. Like, I can't.
Hello, FBI. How may I direct your call?
And then we have this neighbor woman who is...
just shows up rant. What is happening with her? I was like,
she has the biggest balls of anybody in the history of the universe.
She's like, I'm just going to use this. She died, but I'm going to just go to the pool.
she uses a pool. She knows that the woman who used to let her swim there is dead and someone else is living there. And she decides, I hope I'm just going to go swimming in this pool and not ask permission, not introduce myself, just get in my bathing suit and go swimming.
Oh, are you digging a hole for a sapling? Yeah. Yep.
Yep, that's exactly what's happening. And then she shows up at night saying, oh, yeah, I want a party, and then leaves her son with this strange man.
A stranger who disappears with her son into the bathroom. And what?
She's fine with it. No problem.
What? Here's his He-Man toy. See you later.
It was the 80s. People didn't think as much about stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
As they should have.
I was like, what? Worst mother of the year. I'll be back in a couple hours. I'm going to go party.
Hey, strange man. Watch my boy with a crazy fucking mullet.
Oh, my God. The mullet is amazing. Steve Miner's little son, by the way. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's the craziest haircut I've ever seen on a child.
I'm pretty sure my brother had that haircut, so it was very familiar.
It's not even a real mullet. It's like, no. It's like a bowl cut in the front.
Yeah.
Just hair in the back.
I think my brother like cut his bangs by himself when he was little, and that's exactly what happened.
What it looks like. Like he cut his own hair. This 1-year-old child cut his own hair.
I was like, yep, that's pretty much the exact haircut that my little brother had at one point in his life.
It's so good. I just love it. It doesn't make any sense, and I just love it. It's kind of heartwarming and sweet and just strange and weird and just doesn't make sense.
Because we have...
I just love it.
What's his name? William Cat? Roger?
Yeah.
We have Roger who's like trying to be like, oh, it's like a fun game. You're not in serious terror, like terrible danger.
Yeah.
I'll save you, little boy. We're having so much fun.
This monster hand with red fingernails
clawing at your back. I'm just take you into the bathroom and remove it. What? It's like, this is so weird.
Yeah, it is weird. And there's also the music makes it even more weird.
Yeah.
Because there's like 60s doo-wop music. Like the entire, every time anything happens, it's like 60s doo-wop music. And I'm like, okay, like Vietnam flashbacks. Maybe he was listening to a lot of doo-wop music then. It's just a weird choice.
It's super weird
with anything. It's just strange. And the puppy gets the monster hand.
Yep.
Puppy monster hand. Are we done talking about this movie?
Yeah, we can mention that. What, wasn't it like Kane Hodder's stunt coordinator for it?
Yeah, he it's was involved.
Fact. Fun fact.
Yeah, I mean, this
we have the Friday the 13th team.
Basically, and yeah, Harry Manfredi did the music, so.
Yeah, he did it for the Friday the 13th movies, and.
Yeah, so there's like a whole Friday the 13th team happening club. Here. Yeah.
It's a good club.
It is. It's a very good club. Speaking of clubs, of clubs and dogs and things of that nature.
Can we talk about my favorite thing?
Yeah. This is a totally natural segue into us having our first ad for BarkBox.
Oh my God, what? Guys, I'm like really excited about this. I like love BarkBox in a really big way. The box this month was medieval themed. So I have a squirrel toy in knight's armor, and I have a dragon and like lots of snacks, and it's for them, not me. And it's like the best thing snacks of all time, guys. BarkBox is like amazing. If you have a dog,
it's like a gift for you and your dog,
because
you get
so
excited
true
to see what you're getting every month, and they get excited because they get to play with something.
They come up with like the most creative things. There was one month where it was like college themes, like going back to school. I think it was like in August, and it came with like little like a red Solo cup and like squeaky beer pong balls to like go inside. And there was like a frat bro with like a pink polo shirt and like popped collar with a backwards hat. His name was Rad Chad.
And you get to watch your dog eat that.
It's so good. Oh, my dogs love BarkBox, and then they'll just sit there squeaking their toys all the time. It's great.
So what Carly's trying to say is BarkBox is a subscription box.
She's going to do the dog. I'm just going to talk about how much I love it, and she's going to tell you the what it is.
It's a subscription box for your dog that brings them treats and goodies, as Carly has described.
Enjoy.
And every month is a different theme. I don't have a dog, but I know many people who get BarkBox, Carly being one of them, who very much enjoy it. If you don't have a dog and you still, like, you know someone who's a dog lover like Carly, you can also get them gifts, the gift of BarkBox for 1 month or 6 months or a year or whatever you want to do. If you want to get BarkBox or you want to give someone the gift of a BarkBox, try using our code because we get a little throwback for that. It's getbarkbox.com/finalgirls. That's it.
We have arrived.
We have arrived. We are on the BarkBox train. We're on the ad train. Choo choo. Way to go.
That's what I call my dog, Chewbacca. Choo choo.
Okay, on to our next movie. It's enough of that. Carly will talk about BarkBox all day, you guys.
I will talk about BarkBox for like 24 hours if I need to.
Well, I want to talk about Sleepaway Camp, so.
Fine.
Okay.
That's fair.
Sleepaway Camp from 1983, written and directed by Robert Hiltzik, who also wrote and directed 2, 3, 4, and Return to Sleepaway Camp. The IMDb summary is Angela Baker, a traumatized and very shy young girl, is sent to summer camp with her cousin. Shortly after her arrival, anyone with sinister or less than honorable intentions gets their comeuppance. So this is one of my favorites.
I love this movie.
Of all time, and so definitely much. My favorite 80s horror film.
It's so good.
It's so good.
And it's ridiculous.
Everything you need.
It's got creepy old dudes. It has shorts that are really just underwear. It's got the deepest of V's.
It's got mean girls that wear t-shirts with their own name on it.
Yep.
It's got penises.
It's got
really just one.
just the one.
Well, that's not true, because you can see a lot of other peen in the short shorts.
In the short
if
shorts.
You're really looking for it.
It's very
you
true.
You can find it.
Very true. Very true.
It's got little kids swearing,
yep,
and saying inappropriate things. It's got funny jokes. It's got a baseball scene that goes on for way too long.
Way too long, with also very questionable clothing by the opposing team. That's really not intimidating when they're saying these threatening things. It's got great special effects makeup.
It does. Well, maybe we should start by talking about how we came across Sleepaway Camp originally when we first saw it and what our first impressions were with it.
I actually think the first time I saw Sleepaway Camp was because of Jason, who did our logo.
Hmm.
I feel like, I don't know, I know he like, it's it, like one of his favorite movies as well, and I don't remember if it was something that he like just told me that I needed to watch, or if like when I was visiting him in Chicago, like he had just bought the box set that I was saying that everybody probably needs to own, and we watched it. But I definitely remember like my first time watching it centering around him, and then the end happening and me just being like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That last 30 seconds.
If you haven't seen this movie, please, or you don't know anything about it, don't listen right now. Please go check it out first, because this movie's only awesome if you don't know what's going to happen.
It's true. It's true.
It's not only awesome because of that, but it really helps make it extra awesome.
It helps the what the fuck moment.
It does. So now we're going to go ahead and spoil it.
Yeah.
So if you haven't, go stop now or fast forward to the end. So the first time I saw this, I was maybe 18 or 19 years old. I was hanging out with some friends, and one of my guy friends was like, you have to see this movie. It's the most ridiculous movie ever, and at the very end, it's just so scary for no reason, and it doesn't make any sense.
So scary for no reason.
There's no way. Like, it's so good. You have to watch it. So I'm watching it, and I'm like, this movie is so cheesy. How do you think this is the scariest thing ever? Like, there's no way. And then the end happens, and I was so freaked out. I don't know why. I was so scared of it.
It's because her face is nuts.
It's nuts.
It makes you feel so uncomfortable. It made me feel so uncomfortable.
It still makes me feel uncomfortable.
Me too. I was sitting there, and I was like, I didn't realize. I haven't seen it in a while, to be honest. And when I was watching it, I was like, I didn't realize that this shot is so long.
It takes, oh yeah.
It's so long.
That's the thing that the director did. A lot of really long scenes He really held on to like the terrifying moments or the supposed terrifying moments. And especially at the end, the music is so over the top. Yeah. But at the end, it's so insane. So I'm getting chills just thinking about it.
Me too, actually.
I have such nostalgia for that moment in time when I first watched it that like it still gives me the creeps. But the music, it's playing in my head right now as I'm talking. The music, and then she's got this like going on in the background. The first time I saw this, Carly, I thought she had fangs and like blood
too.
Everywhere and like fingernails that are like way too long. Like in my mind's eye,
she
the first time I saw this, it was way more terrifying than it actually is. My brain played tricks on me and it made it so much even scarier than it is. Watching it now, I think it's funny, but I still do have that like nostalgia, like my memory clicks into that original moment.
Yeah.
And I get chills, but like, watching it now and knowing how they set up that shot and what that shot actually is makes it even more fun. But let's rewind and we'll get back to the end towards the end of us discussing this movie because I don't want to start there. It's just hard not to talk about your first impressions without talking about that scene because it's
true.
It's so good.
It's like what the movie obviously leads up to.
Yeah. So the whole beginning of this movie. I'm not going to go into detail about the plot because, I mean, I'm going to just say this. If you really want to, like, hear someone dig into this movie, the best podcast to listen to with regards to this movie, I mean, second to us, obviously, is How Did This Get Made? Go on How Did This Get Made podcast and find their Sleepaway Camp episode. It's really old. It's from when they first started. It is the funniest thing ever and so much fun to listen to. Go check that out if you want details. I'm just going to kind of talk about my impressions, my thoughts, and my feelings about it. But Carly, have you heard that episode of the podcast?
I haven't.
Oh my God, you have to. It's hilarious because they really are trying to figure out the plot and they can't quite do it.
Sounds fun and it's in and of itself.
Yeah. It took me I think like 17 viewings. So I think I feel like fully grasped the plot here because this is a lot. They don't really spell out the characters for you and you're not even exactly sure who Angela is at the end.
And you've got these like just completely over the top characters. Like everybody is like, all of the main characters at least are like a regular personality taken to 10.
Yeah.
Like they're very over the top.
11 actually.
11. This goes to 11. they're all like just so extreme. It's such a weird like. It's
well, because
so
this
weird.
Had like a shoestring budget. Like this had nothing.
Yeah,
this had no money, and it's pretty obvious. We got like the actress that plays the aunt is so insanely
weird.
Awesome. I absolutely love her, but she's so weird. The way she talks is just like,
oh no, that won't do at all.
And like her hand motions, like so exaggerated. It's so fantastic. The clothing that she's wearing is just so good.
I was like, why have I never been her for Halloween? Like,
that would be such a great Halloween
right?
costume. Just get a group of people to go as sleepaway camp people.
I'm in.
Oh my God, how fun.
I'm in.
How fun to be Judy also with your side ponytail
yes.
and your Judy shirt. I absolutely love Judy.
Oh my God. Because she's literally the worst.
She's literally the worst. I like how she's not even really the villain in this movie, but she's still the villain in this movie.
Yeah.
She doesn't kill or hurt anyone, but she's still the worst person
she's
in this
like,
movie.
They're like, there's that girl at camp, like always. She's like that girl.
She sucks. So we have the aunt who's totally over the top. Ricky, who is
so angry sometimes.
Yeah, he's very protective of Angela. He hears a lot about Angela.
But like he's like normal, and then he's like, "Fuck you, you sons of bitches!" Like,
yeah, when the actor was auditioning for the role, his audition was basically just to swear. Just to like cuss someone out. That was his entire like audition.
It's so like, funny. That's so crazy.
And
curse me out, please.
Yeah.
Son, you've got it.
I'm just going to go through the characters and we can talk about them. And then we have the cook, the cooks, the main cook, who's the worst kind of pedophile I could
makes
ever think
me
of.
He feels so uncomfortable.
Loves all the children.
Ew.
In the worst way, and just not unapologetic about it. Doesn't even really try to hide it.
Nope.
It's just all out in the open. Creepy, creepy.
And not even like the kind of guy that like just talks about it. Like he sucks. He's scary. Like, he is the scariest thing about this movie.
As an adult. Pretty fucking frightening. at the beginning, he's definitely the scariest thing.
Yeah, true.
And then, you know, Judy, who is just the mean girl with the, I know I already said it, but she's just curling her hair in the dark. I just love her. Nothing she does makes any sense. Nope. And she's so mean for no reason. I love how all the guys in this movie are just really over the top boy, like aggro posturing and giving each other the finger and swearing at each other. That's what little boys were like. I mean, in my childhood, that's what I remember little boys being like.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're like that still, but like, you know, that's kind of a normal thing. Like, when there's only kids around, that's how they act towards each other.
Totally.
I love the scene how they're having like a water balloon fight on a roof.
On the roof. I was like, who just like is like, let's just go hang out on this roof and have a water balloon fight.
It just seems like a totally 80s thing, though.
No, totally.
There's nothing better to do. Let's just climb on the roof and have, because a water balloon fight on the ground, not that fun.
Not as
water
exciting.
Because there's no real danger there. Exactly. If you have it on the roof, you could fall and kill yourself. So it makes it way more fun. The kills in this movie are interesting. There's no specific murder weapon. There's no, you know, there's no one going around killing people with knives. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is one knife.
There's
scene.
One knife death.
But you know, it's more like boiling water. The biggest pot of boiling water ever.
I was like, that literally when I was watching this, and I don't know what this says about me, but I was like, that would take so long to heat up to boiling.
Like, yeah, I know,
because it's a small base, but it's like so tall.
They built that pot for the movie. Obviously, nothing like that is really
real.
I don't think it exists.
I was like, that would have to be on for like 3 days before that whole thing got got
when
to boiling.
I was listening to the commentary, actually, and they were talking about how they built that pot and how it's like, why wouldn't you just have like 4 pots of boiling water going? Why would you have this one giant
big pot that, A, if you put all that corn in there, it would overflow.
Yeah.
Because that's how it works.
It just doesn't make any
volume.
Sense. Volume is a thing.
Yeah.
And then what other kind of deaths we have? We have bees. We have a bee death.
We have a bee death. We have
death by bees.
A drowning death.
Yeah, there's
the
a drowning. A curling iron.
A curling iron death, which I'm really not sure.
Well, she didn't die from the curling iron. That's she true. Died from suffocation. The curling iron was just a bonus,
true.
I guess.
True. Then the knife thing.
Yeah.
Then
they don't,
eating? Is that what goes on at the end?
Eating? Oh, because she ate him?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't think she ate him. She like, decapitated him somehow.
True. I think that goes back to like my imagination of just like her being a vampire with like blood all over the place.
Right? In my head, she's like, she's got like sharp teeth and like suddenly is a monster.
Yeah.
With
in
a
my
penis
head, she
for
bit
some
his
reason.
Head off.
Yeah. Because we don't even see how it happened.
No, we don't. And they were like just hanging on the beach and like, what did she have with her that she like decapitated this boy and then wanted to be naked?
Yeah, well, they got naked because they were going to go swimming. That's how she trapped him.
And then he was like, you have a penis. And she was like, ah.
I mean, it had to have been something like that. We didn't get to watch it, but. You have a penis. Ah.
Gonna bite your head off.
I really hope that's how it happened.
Same.
I wonder if we could get a deleted scene. I didn't have anything on the Blu-ray that was like that. There was a lot of extra features, but that wasn't
that
one of
them.
That
didn't make it. Did not
Can
make it.
Can someone make a cartoon of that happening,
oh my
please?
God, please tag us in it.
Just you have a penis and then her biting his head off.
A gif. preferably a GIF that I can use. Oh, yeah, a GIF
would be good.
Yeah. All the time.
The dialogue is fantastic. The acting is horrible and amazing because it's horrible. I just love it. It's just, it's imperfections make it better.
There's like really not a thing in this movie that I'm like, I just wish that didn't happen.
There's nothing like that. Even though it doesn't really make sense, especially at the end, like why Angela would be killing multiple children in sleeping bags and doing all these other things. Like a lot of that doesn't really make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. I don't really care though.
Yeah.
Like,
because like up until that point, it's pretty much just people that have
screwed her over.
Yeah. And then she's just like, oh, well, they're camping in the woods. I'm going to murder them because I'm just, that's where I'm at.
I didn't really, and the killing of the children, I didn't really understand. Although, from what I read, it's kind of like they were playing around with Friday the 13th, I guess, a little bit. There was like a, they talk about Jason killing people in their sleeping bags or something. At least that's what I read. I don't really know if that's why. I think that part was a little bit out of place, but I don't hate it.
It doesn't bother me either.
No.
Because I just kind of assumed like, well, now she's got a taste for murder. So she's just kind of, because obviously when we start at the beginning, she isn't really killing. She boils that guy. But like, then she kind of gets more gruesome as it goes on, I guess.
The special effects actually are pretty good.
They're so good. The boiling skin at the beginning.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So good. When it bubbles, I was like, this sucks in a good way.
There's two really good scenes. There's that, the boiling scene, and there's the bee scene that I think are done really well. At the end, you see the dummy with all the bees all over his face.
And like the bees crawling into the holes in his face. It's so good. It's so good.
That was really well done. The other scenes are, they're not as awesome.
No, but they're
fine. I guess the one at the end is pretty good.
The penis? Is that what?
The penis? Well, I was talking about the head at the end that rolls away, but...
Oh, but overshadowed by the penis.
Yeah, you're just thinking of the penis part only. Do you know how they filmed that scene? Should I...
Please enlighten us.
Okay, so obviously the actress who played Angela, Felissa Rose... who a lot of people know now and is doing a lot of other horror films and does a lot of conventions and things like that. obviously, she doesn't have a penis. She's a woman, at least not that I know of. And so filming that scene, they had to have a boy or a man, obviously, to film that scene. And they got a college student and he wore an Angela mask. So the close-up scenes are actually Felissa Rose, and the far-away scenes are a boy wearing an Angela mask, which is why it's extra creepy, because he's not blinking, and the face is just frozen that way.
That makes a lot of sense, because I remember seeing it, and obviously, like, I know that the actress is a female and does not, in fact, have a penis, but it looks, the faraway shots do look like her head was like superimposed, but you know that this didn't have the budget for it. So it's just like, what's happening?
That's a really good mask. Yeah. Like, it looks very much like her.
Yeah.
And it does, if you look very closely, it does look superimposed or something. Mm-hmm. But I think it works really well, especially for 83.
Totally.
And no budget. But I don't know. I really like that scene. So I love how that scene starts too. She's just humming and like, they're like, I think I hear music, and they look over and she's just petting his head, sitting on the sand.
Yep.
And I don't know why all of a sudden she's just standing and like,
I know.
She was just a second ago just humming and being happy.
It's terrifying.
It is very, it does work though. Man, is it scary. And the reason it works so well, I think, is because the rest of the movie is so cheesy and over the top that this scene just really sticks out. You're not expecting it to be as scary as it is, because everything else was so okay to watch.
Yeah.
You know, you could watch this with a non-horror fan and they would be totally fine with it until the end. It's a really mean trick to play on someone who doesn't like horror and you're like, it's not scary. You could watch this because at the end they will be totally freaked out. There's no way they won't. I think that happened to Lizzie, who's been on for Let's Make a Monster. I believe someone did that to her.
Oh.
Who will remain nameless.
Yikes.
And she was not happy about it.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
But I remember after this, I remember going into like my friend's room and like he put up a picture of that scene, just a picture of it, and then play the sound in the background and like freak me out on purpose. I'd be like, can you please stop? I can't deal.
It's so scary. It's so scary. And it's like, I swear to God, like, it feels like it's just like a 5-minute scene. I know it's probably like 20, 30 seconds, but like.
Well, and then it freeze frames on it.
The freeze frames, there's like a wide shot, there's a close up shot, there's a wide shot, freeze frame. And then you're like, what is happening? Like, why is this so long?
And then the credits come and it's still there.
It's still there. And you're like, I can't look away, but it's freaking me out. Ah.
Oh, I feel like us talking about this is all over the place and not organized at all, but I don't care.
That's the beauty of this movie. Oh, this is how the movie makes you feel.
I had fun listening to the commentary, all their stories. It was a lot of behind the scenes. It was a lot of, Felissa Rose talking about, all these kids really having very little supervision and staying up late for a late filming and being crazy and doing a bunch of shit they're not supposed to. And that was really fun. It was just really fun to hear their stories. And it was her and Ricky, the actor who played Ricky.
Oh, nice.
Doing the commentary. Nice, and it was a good time. I recommend if you have the Blu-ray or have the ability to get the Blu-ray, I recommend it because I think the special features are really fun. There's three different commentaries for this. I only listened to one. I only had time to listen to one, but I just really enjoy it. I've seen this movie so many times that I thought it would be okay to just watch the commentary instead. But yeah, it's just so good.
It's so good. So good.
I love just quoting it.
It's so good.
Eat shit and live.
Yeah, eat shit and live, Bill. I don't know if that's so his good. Name, but
I don't know who it is either. That's fine.
I was like, oh, Ricky, coming back at it.
Yep, yep. All right. Are we ready to move forward? I really hope that no one let us spoil that for them because you just gotta. She was
a
boy the whole time.
Yeah, I imagine it being if like you just hear like us talking about like a random penis, which we are the peen podcast, I suppose. But being like, wait, what is this movie? I feel like that would almost intrigue me to watch it more. Like, what is happening here?
What the hell are they talking about?
What penis are they talking about? I gotta watch this movie immediately.
Yeah, there was. Something that I just wanted to mention, though, there is a scene. I thought Felissa Rose had a really good insight on this one scene in the movie when Angela is making out with the boy.
Yeah, I don't remember his name either.
Paul. Angela's making out with Paul, and it's starting to get hot and heavy a little bit, and she freaks out and runs away. And she has this flashback when they're making out of
the gay dads in bed
kissing, and the boy and the girl laughing at them, and then the boy and the girl sitting on the bed and pointing
at
each other.
Yeah,
and she said, and I never really understood.
Same. I'm glad you brought it up because I actually totally forgot about that scene. I forget about it every time I see it. Actually.
I do understand. Okay, I said I wasn't going to get into it, but I'll get into it a little bit.
Cool.
The dads are gay.
Yep.
And the boy and the girl are brother and sister, right? So at this point in the movie, though, you think that it's Angela and Ricky, but really it's
Angela's
and
the boy.
Her brother. No, Angela and her sister.
Yeah, exactly.
And And Felissa Rose said that that scene was her thinking about laughing at her dad's kissing and thinking, I'm gay because I'm a man, I'm a boy, and I'm kissing another boy and enjoying it. So really what she's saying is that Angela is actually gay.
Right.
And Angela is actually a gay boy. And just how interesting that is, because she's freaking out because she's dealing with her own homosexuality. And she's also been treated and forced to dress up as a girl from a very young age.
Right.
So she has a lot of internal stuff happening.
Yeah, she has a lot of things that she's dealing
with. She has like a sexual awakening happening here.
And like no one to really talk to.
And no one who really understands, who may, except for maybe Ricky, who might know.
I've always wondered if Ricky knew.
I think he does, because he seems very protective of her.
Yeah. Like, don't put her in the water.
She doesn't talk because probably voice is changing issues. Just really interesting things. Anyway, the more you think about it, the more interesting it really is. Because there's so many levels to her character that you don't really see her dealing with very strongly. It's like little things like that. So anyway, so she is a gay boy that's forced to be dressing as a woman, a girl, and acting like a girl. It's just really nuts if you think about
it. Yeah, no, like, it totally
is. That's a lot for a little kid to be dealing with at a young age. So Angela is the boy from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
His sister and father died in that boating accident.
Yes.
And then he was sent to live with his aunt and Ricky.
Who always wanted a girl.
Who always wanted a girl and decided to dress and treat Angela as a girl.
Yeah.
So it took me a really long time to get there. It's not something you get right away, I don't think, when you're watching the movie. You get that the parents are gay and you get that they died. But then, I don't know, it took me, like, especially the boy-girl pointing at each other thing. I definitely thought, that's Ricky and Angela as kids. But it's not.
Right, it's not Angela and her sister.
Yeah, yeah. His sister.
Yeah.
At this point, I guess. Anyway. Okay, got that out of the way. We're done, right? Okay, move on. Moving
on. And we're wrapping it up.
I just wanted to get that out of the way, because when she said that, I was like, oh, it totally clicks now.
Yeah, no, that's great.
It totally clicks that's why she's angry. And leads
to murder.
And why she would kill him at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, not just because he kissed Judy. Maybe she's not even really upset about that. Maybe she has this, like, anger towards being attracted to him or something. Anyway, okay. Did you see the other Sleepaway Camp movies? Have you seen any of them?
I've seen the second one. That's as far as I've gotten.
Okay. I've seen 2 and 3. I don't think I've seen 4. Which I think came out fairly recently.
I think so,
by fairly recently, I mean, past 5 years or something. I think 3 is the most ridiculous of all of them. It's so ridiculous. If you don't mind watching softcore porn, because that's basically what
is.
Yeah. It's a lot. Both of 2 and 3, but 3 especially is very softcore porn. softcore porn at some points. I'm like, okay, don't need all of that. But it's totally insane. I highly recommend it. I have it on Blu-ray if you're interested in watching it sometime.
Hey, why not?
Okay, so do you want to watch softcore porn with me? I just tell you it's softcore porn.
It's not weird. It's for the show.
I invite you to watch it with me.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Let me put on my sexy voice and I'll say that again.
It's for the show.
Hey, would you like to come over and watch Sleepaway Camp 3 with me?
Oh my God. Absolutely, wink, wink. I would. Link returned.
Okay. It's getting so weird.
Like the movies that we're watching.
Just
this
like
week.
The movies we're watching. It all ties together. And that brings us to our newest segment, which we like to call
Social Media Question of the Week.
Hey, Carly, what was this week's question?
Since today marks the beginning of the 80s were weird month over here in Final Girls Land, what's your favorite, like, totally outrageous 80s horror film? I love the gem reference.
I love the way you said it.
Thanks.
Well, I didn't say truly outrageous. That's I said like totally outrageous.
Fair enough.
It was more Valley Girl I was going for.
Like totally.
Yeah, totally. Okay, on Twitter we have at Finn Horror, who says, The Evil Dead, it may not be the 80s-est movie, but it's my favorite horror movie of all time, and hence the decade. The 80s-est, I love that.
I do too.
It's not the 80s-est movie.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
MJ Hogan 29 says, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. As a kid, it scared the crap out of me, but as I got older, I recognized the cheese and embraced it.
I love Killer Clowns. I
love it. It's so, it's good and like creative, like the things that they do. I love it. The balloon animals, the like invisible dogs. Solid.
Yeah, it's not really streaming right now, or else maybe we would have been doing it this month. Maybe next year. At the Giant Be With You says, Friday the 13th, the final chapter.
All right.
He loves Friday the 13th, and that is a very good one.
True.
Yeah.
At Boss Captain Ross says, the correct answer, Lady Terminator.
I mean, I've never seen it.
I haven't either, but I'm curious.
But now I want to.
Same.
At Blink Bomber says, Summer School, not really horror, but oh so 80s, and had that one rad scene where the students play dead with practical effects.
That's a great movie.
I love Summer School. It's really not horror at all.
Phenomenal. Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Such a stupid movie, but it's very 80s.
Yeah. So good. At B Stole My Remote, Happy Birthday to Me.
I haven't seen that one.
Either.
I need to check it out. At Titania 86 says, The Monster Squad, my childhood fave.
It's so good.
I saw it fairly recently. I don't have any nostalgic connection to Monster Squad, but I do appreciate it.
I love it.
I do enjoy it.
Love it. At Mac Blackwood says, Reanimator.
How do you feel about the Reanimator in general?
I like it. It's not a most watched of mine, but I've seen it.
Yeah, I think I've seen it once, but I remember enjoying it.
Totally.
At Super Spec says, Monster Squad and the Forces of Evil better run and hide.
I haven't seen that.
I think it's not a movie.
Oh, he's just
I think she's saying the Forces of Evil better run and hide. Monster Squad.
I just like fucked up 8,000 times on that. Yeah. Because I was like, oh, I've never seen that. And then I was like, oh, she.
Well, she also said singing, but I didn't know how to sing it. So I just said it.
Oh.
Is that the song? I think it's the song.
Okay.
I'm not a Monster Squad aficionado.
It's been a while since I've seen it, obviously, because that totally flew right over my head.
I totally would have sang it if I knew how to sing it, but I didn't. So I didn't.
So I won't. At V and a bunch of threes says Child's Play.
Of course. And at Junger128 says, it has to be The Lost Boys.
So good.
That's a good one.
So good. On Instagram, we have Repairman Jack, who says, The Deadly Spawn, because we're doing an episode on it soon. Damn it, that hurt to choose one. I feel your pain.
Yeah, that's Justin from Horror Business.
Yes, he
picked like 17 movies. I'm like, you can't do that. I said pick one. Home Video Hustle Podcast says, definitely got to go with Intruder. Just rewatched it and love that movie.
I've never seen Intruder.
I haven't either. But don't feel too bad because they just watched Jaws for the first time over there.
Come on, guys. Nerds of Nostalgia says, Society. Relevant then, relevant now.
Stay tuned. Black Cat Horror Meme says, Night of the Creeps. Great effects. Very funny and has characters you genuinely care about. I love Night of the Creeps. I love Night of the Creeps. And we're not doing it this year, but
we love it.
At least not this month. But we love it. Agreed.
Exploding Heads Horror Podcast says Reanimator. Maybe I need to revisit Reanimator.
Maybe. How do I say this? Zanalapwood.
Nailed it.
Says Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh my God. Kung Fu Dracula. Just became my favorite. Jaws 3D. It literally reeks of the 80s.
It does.
100%. That's my favorite Jaws Charlie movie. And one. I know.
No, you can't say that.
I fucking love that movie because of how terrible it is. I love Jaws 3D in a huge way. I love the dolphins.
You can't say that it's the best Jaws movie.
I didn't say it was the best Jaws movie.
And you said it was your favorite.
It's my favorite to watch. Mm. I love watching Jaws 3D so much. So much. High five.
On Facebook, we have Tommy B, who says, Return of the Living Dead. send more paramedics. I fucking love Return of the Living Dead.
Me too. So good.
Oh, so good.
Oh, Nick B. Hellraiser, The Thing, Videodrome, Puppet Master. It was such a rich decade. It's tough to pick just one. If it's just pure outrageousness, I'm going for Peter Jackson's Bad Taste.
Stay tuned. Fred B. says Monster Squad.
Jonathan W. says Fright Night.
And Rachel says, I have to go with Scanners because that blew my mind as a kid. Pun intended.
Amazing.
It is amazing. You guys have great choices here.
You do.
And a couple that I want to check out now. So thank you for the suggestions.
Yeah, I feel like I should go through and like highlight the ones that I want to watch.
Yeah, like Happy Birthday to Me and Intruder. Yeah. I definitely want to check those out. All right. So is there anything that you are doing or have watched or anything you want to discuss before we move on?
I saw Jumanji for the second time this week.
Again?
Yeah.
You can't talk about it again. It's you already so talked funny, about
guys,
Jumanji.
If you haven't seen Jumanji, go see it because it's great. I don't even think I've like watched anything else like horror-wise. I'm trying to think.
I watched that Haunters, The Art of the Scare.
I wanted to watch that because I just listened to the Modern Horrors podcast.
Yeah, the Modern Horrors guys interviewed the director of that. And if you haven't checked out that interview, go listen to the last episode. It's really good. It's a really mm-hmm. interesting interview. And the movie is really fun to watch. And I highly recommend it. We had a haunted house episode we did when we first started. Mm-hmm. And we talked about haunted houses a little bit. And I remember referring to McCamey Manor, which is a big plot point of the documentary.
I'm really like, that's kind of why I want to watch it, because I've always read about it and I know that they have a lot of footage. It seems like
there's footage and then there's interviews with the husband and wife that run it, and it's really interesting to see who they are as people.
I'm curious.
I almost feel like the wife's, I don't know. I'm not going to get into it. I highly recommend. Go check it out. It's really, really, really interesting. That's really the only horror thing I've done recently. But I definitely have a bunch of stuff on my watch list and to do coming up. But I guess that's it for this week. Check us out next week when we continue with the 80s Were Weird Month. We're doing Chopping Mall and Death Spa. Which
I have not seen either. I've told Amy when we were like curating this is that I've owned Chopping Mall for like 10 years.
That's insane.
And I've never watched it. Like,
how can you have something such gold on your shelf and not ever watch it?
I don't know, because I remember I was like, I used to just like go to Best Buy and like buy random $3 horror movies, and I remember mm-hmm. like seeing Chopping Mall, and I was like, first of all, it's called Chopping Mall, second of all, the cover's awesome. I was like, I need to own this movie, and for some reason I've just like never seen it.
It's good. I personally have never seen Death Spa, but I'm very familiar with it. I've heard multiple podcasts about it, and I'm really excited to finally check that one out. I think they're both streaming on Amazon right now. Cool. So feel free to watch those if you haven't yet.
Yeah.
We're also going to be doing a live tweet coming up, a Patreon live tweet, which we won't stop non-Patreons from being involved in. So tomorrow, the day after this airs, Tuesday, which I believe is the 6th. Tuesday the 6th, we will be doing Body Melt, which is, I believe, also streaming on Amazon. We're going to be doing a live tweet of that. So check that out. I will be posting stuff on Twitter and Patreon regarding time of that. And I hope that you guys can make it. It's always fun when we do
have
live
so
tweets.
Much fun. I love live tweets. It's like the most action my Twitter account ever gets.
And if you're a Patreon, I highly recommend you start subscribing soon if you are not a Patreon, because I'm trying to get Carly to come visit me.
Yep.
So we can do some sort of live stream together in the same room.
What?
At the same time.
What?
It's going to be totally crazy.
It's going to be totally outrageous.
It's going to be totally outrageous. This hasn't happened in over a year. It's insane to think that we talk every single week for hours.
But we never hang out.
and we never like actually hang out. Do you know how cute Carly and I are that we watched a movie together through Skype the other day?
We did. That was the best.
We kept Skype open and press play at the same time and watched a movie together. We were like, isn't that the cutest thing you ever heard?
We're like, I'm not doing anything. So you want to hang out?
Yeah. It was like Friday night and my husband went out and I was like, I'm bored. You want to watch a movie?
We like drank wine and watched a like children's
movie. And cuddled
movie.
With our pets on the couch.
And watched a completely non-horror movie.
Yeah, it was really fun.
It was great.
So if you want in on that, catch us up on Patreon.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's related, but it'll be fun.
Yeah. It will be.
Carly, you think you're going to come out? You're going to come out and visit me, right?
Yes.
You're going to. Yes.
And you're coming out in April? When's Monster Palooza?
In April, yeah.
For your B-Day.
We're going to be together a couple times coming up in the next few months. So stay tuned for some fun video and photography of this event.
Yeah.
This very exciting event that's going to be happening. Until then, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye. Thanks to Troy from Kate Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone, and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit FinalGirlsHorrorCast.com for more information on them, to listen to our episodes, to find our Patreon link, or our shop link. We still have stickers to give away. If you're interested in getting some stickers, all you have to do is share our podcast on social media, or rate and review us on iTunes, and send us an email, FinalGirlsHorrorCast@gmail.com, and we'll send some directly to you.
Final Girls Horrorcast is sponsored by Elizabeth, Mikey H., Nick B., Jonathan W., Black Cat, Miss Tab, and the OT Gourmet Geek. We are available to stream on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Tuned In, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at Final Girls HC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast. We also invite you to join our Final Girls discussion group on Facebook. You can find the link on our Facebook homepage.